Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and the lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Creator and Redeemer, we do love you and want to be in relationship with you. Create in each one of us a clean heart and renew a right spirit among all of us. In Christ's name, amen. Throughout this week, I have asked people as they've come along, what do you think of when you hear the word Ten Commandments? And I've gotten all sorts of answers, such as Moses with a staff, right? Or I've gotten honor your father and your mother, or think two tablets of stone. I've gotten the proverbial Charlton Heston, of course. And others said a bunch of shalt nots is all I know. And then finally, the Ten Commandments, those are ancient, like we don't do those anymore, right? So I thought seriously today about asking the ushers to pass out to you some pieces of paper and pen, and I would give you 30 seconds to write down as many names of the seven dwarves as you could. And then maybe I'll give you 30 more seconds and you write down six characters, any six characters from Game of Thrones. And then maybe another 30 seconds to write down Santa's reindeer, on and on. And then I would finally give you a lot more time to write down as many of the Ten Commandments as you could. And then I realized that Becky was going to be reading all of that. And of course, then we have the children's sermon, and you got firsthand what those Ten Commandments are. But in all fairness, I will say that there are a bunch of shalt nots in these Ten Commandments. Tablet number one says, you shall not have any other gods, make idols, misuse the name of God, among other things. Tablet number 2 says, you shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, covet, bear false witness. And the Torah word for these commandments is words, or teachings. These are 10 teachings. So I have a new watch just because I have to have a watch, and my Fitbit of a long, long time crashed. And I happened to see this good deal, and so I got the watch knowing that it would do a couple of the things that I wanted it to, not paying attention to all that it would do. Until I noticed this annoying little click that I can hear and feel, and I looked down to see what it said, and it said, take a breath. And then, so I took a breath, and it said, take a deep breath. I took a deep breath, and then later on, it clicks, and it says, you've completed 2 rings today. How about trying for 3 tomorrow? And then another note I got said, you did so well on Thursday. Now, this is Saturday. How about trying to match Thursday, which means I must have done dismally on Friday. And so it keeps sending me all these messages. And finally, I told my friend, I noticed that she had one too. And I said, how do you turn this thing off? You know, I want to keep the time. I want to keep my steps. But how do you turn this thing off? And she said, I have no clue. I'm not sure you can silence it. It was annoying. But what it was trying to do, what it is trying to do, is teach me how to be healthy in body and mind and even soul. Take these breaths, take deep breaths. And so these 10 words on these 2 tablets are trying to teach us how to be in relationship with God and how to be in relationship with one another. Walter Brueggemann says, maybe we should look at these not as a series of rules, but as words that have come right out of God's mouth. This is how you practice God in community, our community. These 10 words, these 10 teachings, teach us how to be in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus. They give divine direction, and significantly, they are on stone. Like the stela that are all throughout Egypt, placed there by priests and pharaohs, like the Rosetta Stone, even like the stone that the Statue of Liberty holds out that says 1776, there's a significance that they are written in stone. Barbara Brown Taylor is a noted theologian, and she calls Georgia her home. And it was Georgia and some of the other states surrounding Georgia who just a few years ago insisted that the Ten Commandments stay up in courthouses and schools and all kinds of public places. And she said she noticed is that people who really insisted on that put up a set of stone tablets out in their yard, like a yard sign. So it's a white plastic sign with blue ink on it, and they look like stones with the Ten Commandments. The only problem, she said, was that sometimes you could drive by and those same people on Sunday were mowing around those signs. And if their neighbors had told them what they thought about those signs, they were possibly bearing false witness against those same neighbors. And so she suggested, maybe they should turn those signs around facing their house. If we're going to commend a covenant with God to others, we should start right here. 2 of those commandments, murder and adultery, got more specified and defined when Jesus came along. Jesus said, not only shall you not commit adultery, you should not have lust in your heart for someone else's partner. And when that was interpreted in the past late century, Billy Graham found himself culpable. Jimmy Carter found himself culpable. And people were shaking their heads like, oh no, this can't be. That's not really what it meant. Jesus didn't mean to add all those things to that. And of murder, he says this, you've heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with a brother or a sister is worthless and answerable to court. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fires of hell. That's what Jesus added to that commandment. Too often these days we find ourselves looking at that sixth commandment, you shall not kill. Too often we're driving along and see our flags at half-mast. And we're thinking it's them versus us. But then we recall, we have these reminders. And we realize that the violence that makes the headlines happens when the content of sinful and ordinary human hearts crosses the threshold from thoughts into action. Last week, the youth and some of us adults went to see Black Panther. And T'Challa, the main character, is the hero, and he's fighting the evil person who happens to be a half-brother. And then in the midst of it all, he starts to realize all the things that have shaped his brother to become who his brother is. And even when he realizes that justice must be done, he's seeing all of that play before him and trying to relay that to the rest of those in Wakanda. This is what happened to him to make his thoughts cross the threshold into action. So whatever it is that generates headlines these days or any days and deprives families of their loved ones, issues from the very same stuff that has made home lives painful, relationships strained, children bullied at school, workplaces a nightmare. It's stuff that we know inside of our own selves. What that means is just when we think that we're the good guys, we have some of that same stuff inside us. Lent offers us the chance to consider what it means when we refuse to imitate Christ, to be a follower of Jesus. When we do forget the 10 teachings or the promises made, the Sermon on the Mount. When we opt instead for paths that demean others. When we live outside of relationship with God and with others. Sometimes we fail because of ignorance. But sometimes we willfully fail. And other times we fail because we ourselves have been wounded. We've suffered abuse. But we need to know, we need to be reminded of the promise that God made and that God gave us apart, completely apart from any goodness that we have in us. It's because of God's goodness that we're given this promise. And yes, there is some judgment, but that's not the basis of our theology. God's grace is given to us before we were born and as we struggle along this journey, getting to know God better. Jesus didn't promise that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there I am. If those two or three people have been really good this week, rather, where two or three are gathered, I will be there. So those who live by faith are not those who are blessed by God because of their goodness, but who instead rely on a God who is present in times of joy and in times of suffering and is in the process of making all things new, even when it doesn't appear to be so. We do need teachings. We need words to remind us, and we don't need anything that silences those reminders to us of God's promises and ways to be in relationship with God. There's a poem that Andrew King wrote about 4 years ago about Exodus 20 and words. And I want to close with that poem today. This is a moment of new creation, blast of a trumpet and fire and smoke, and the people gathered at the foot of a mountain. Moses on the summit, receiving words, words that are beacons, words that cast shadows, words that are fire sparks struck from stone, words that are trumpet calling to silence, words that will echo through ages to come, words that are the beating heart of a covenant, words of requirement, words that are gift, words that are bones in the body of a people, words that are blood flowing into their veins, words that are power spoken to weakness, words that are freedom because they are fence, words that challenge us, words that summon us, words that are song for a lifelong dance, words that are dwelling place, words of foundation, words that are law given in grace, words that are signpost, words that are journey, words that are pathway pointing to peace. Amen.